You're listening to Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno, supported by HomeWatch Caregivers, whose mission is to preserve dignity, protect independence, and provide peace of mind for their clients and their loved ones by providing exceptional home care.
News Talk 1360 WCHL is pleased to present Caring Connections with your host, Nicole Bruno. Nicole has over 15 years of experience as a geriatric social worker and administrator, working in the long-term care industry to include skilled nursing care, Alzheimer's care, adult daycare, and home care. She also worked as a family caregiver. In addition, Nicole co-founded a nonprofit in the Triangle that specializes in support for caregivers. And now, Caring Connections.
Thank you for joining us today for this episode of Caring Connections on 1360 WCHL. Today we will be discussing how to prepare to be a caregiver. With families being placed in a caregiving situation at an unprecedented rate, Laverne Cohen, author and family caregiver, will help us prepare to care so that we are ready when our time comes. While working, Laverne added the job title family caregiver to her resume and learned the skills that she needed, as most caregivers do, on the job. With her sister and partner, Laverne cared for her mother for 5 years over a distance of 250 miles and an emotional distance that seemed longer. More recently, she supported her husband as he cared for his ailing father. Drawing on her experience and information background, in 2008, Laverne published her first elder care book, Caring for a Distant Parent. Shortly after, she launched Parent Care 101, a web-based business to promote healthy balance in elder care through good information and the concept of mini vacations for caregivers. She speaks to groups throughout the Triangle on elder care topics. Today, we'll talk about how family caregivers can prepare to care. Welcome, Laverne.
Hi, Nicole. Thanks so much for having me today.
Oh, we're just so glad to have you. This is such a great topic because caregiving does not discriminate. It certainly will face all of us, I believe, at some point in our lives in one way, shape, or form.
Definitely. Definitely.
So you provided some great resources for us today. And one of the things I asked you to provide were the top 10 things that people don't know about how to caregive that they ought to know. And we will have these available on the website after the show. But there's just a few that I'd like to highlight that I really particularly found interesting. I think one of the most important things and things for people to realize that you did highlight here is that the most difficult part in the elder care journey will be the emotional upheaval. Would you agree?
Absolutely. People usually can deal with the caregiving part, getting care for their parent, finding the resources, finding the services. But as soon as they get into the emotional arena, they're totally unprepared for that. It means a change in dynamics, means a change in how you deal with your family. If there were older issues that were in the background, it means that those issues usually float to the top in this more stressful period. And people are really don't expect that to happen, and they think, oh, I'm just going to take care of my parents and help them. But then all of a sudden, they're in the middle of this emotional upheaval. So it is very, it's a very common thing and something that people are just not used to.
You're exactly right. I mean, when I was in my caregiving situation for my grandfather, I had just brought home my two-week-old baby when he came to move in my home, and my grandmother had just passed away. But looking back at it, my parents were just in a major, major emotional upheaval. My dad was a only son, and he was just very distraught over the loss of his mom, of course. He was very, very close to her. And, you know, having to then deal with the caregiving-related issues of my grandfather just seemed to be very, very difficult for him. And luckily, I had some of the professional background that helped me have the tools to be able to care for him in my home. But it was just very emotionally tolling on him.
I think that's a very common experience. And I had one friend who came to me and said that she and her brother were very, very close, and they supported each other for everything. And then their father became ill. And so she flies home to go ahead and take care of him and get that care started. And her brother just pulled back and said, I'm sorry, I can't help you with this at all. She was devastated. This was a brother who she loved, whom she cared for, and whom she supported. And they supported each other through so many things. Well, finally, after talking with me and we talked about what she should do, she asked him, well, what's going on? And he was able to admit that he and his father had some very deep issues, and he refused to help. So what she did was to ask him, well, can you help me then? Mm-hmm. I'm going to take care of Dad, but can you help me by watching the kids or helping with some of the finances or helping me at home? You know, can you come over and mow the lawn when my husband can't do it? Those kinds of things. And that's where the secondary caregiver, say the brother or the husband or the spouse, can help out. But that was how they handled that emotional crisis that came.
That was a great, very creative way to look at it. And I think oftentimes it just seems no matter what the family dynamic is, I don't think there's any definition of a totally normal family. I think every family has dysfunction in it. But it does always seem to fall on one, that primary caregiving role, it seems. So another thing that I thought you really outlined very well, just helping out is most likely the beginning part of an elder care journey, which will gradually grow into a significant commitment. And that is, again, another very true statement. It's some of the support groups I facilitate, you know, families start to come and they say, well, right now I'm just helping mom out. And, you know, what is the definition of a caregiver? I think sometimes people don't understand, you know, doing the bills for mom or going grocery shopping, you know, twice a week and picking up the medications. That is a caregiver, isn't it?
That is. And it's also a little different from the professional caregiver, mm-hmm. where in the professional caregiver, that is a person who is getting paid, who has chosen to be a caregiver, and this is their career. This is their job. But the family caregiver is someone who's not paid usually mm-hmm. and is looking at their parents and saying, well, geez, I am just going to help out. And we found that if you are helping out more than 2 hours a week, then you would be defined as a caregiver.
Okay.
And also, if you are a family member who has taken over a particular task that an elder can no longer do, something like, as you said, paying bills or doing the grocery shopping or preparing meals for them, then you are considered a caregiver. And that goes from that range all the way to what we normally think of as caregiver as, oh, mom's living with me, or I'm really helping as mom is in an assisted living home. So, but people don't realize that when you're at that very beginning, when you see that something is wrong and you start to help out because your parent can't do a daily activity, you are a caregiver and you have started that journey.
That's very important. I'm so glad that you talked about that because I do think that most people think a caregiver is when you're physically providing physical assistance to that person, whether it's assisting with bathing or dressing or grooming. I think a lot of times people think, well, now I'm a caregiver, but.
Right. And it is, in fact, that at that very beginning stage, you can class yourself as a caregiver, and that's when you really should start preparing. That's the time to get things together, to be ready to get into the more extensive caregiving.
So now you're talking about preparing to care, and that's really the point of our conversation today. Could you talk about some of the things that people should consider when they're preparing to care, and when should they start considering preparing?
Well, the starting point is at the point where you think that something is going wrong. And that is, I know with my mom, the first thing that I realized was that when I was calling her, she started talking in circles and she was a bit agitated. And my sister and I talked about that and we said, you know, this isn't right. Something's not right. So we started making phone calls and preparing to get ready. The other thing is that some of the writers have said that if the house is cluttered or the mail piles up, these would be a couple of places where you would look and say, oh, something's not right. And then you would get into the mode of preparing.
Well, hold that thought for a moment, Laverne. We're going to take a short break. I'm here today with Laverne Cohen, author and family caregiver, talking about how to prepare to care to be a caregiver on 1360 WCHL. We'll be right back.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on News Talk 1360 WCHL is supported by Homewatch Caregivers. And now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. Today I'm here with Laverne Cohen, author and family caregiver, talking about how to prepare to care to be a caregiver on 1360 WCHL. And I'm your host, Nicole Bruno. So, Laverne, you were just talking to us about some of the things to look out for when a person may start to look like they may need a caregiver, an older adult, or someone that someone is thinking about caring for. What I'd love for you to talk a few minutes with us about now is, what should we consider when preparing to care? What are some of the things that we need to get together? I think oftentimes people just by nature operate in crisis mode. And, you know, mom falls, breaks a hip, now has to go to rehab, and now we start to get everything together. But wouldn't it be nice to live in a world where, and maybe I'm too optimistic, we kind of have a sense of where everything is. I know my parents have the proverbial box. There's this box that even I do not know
have
where the box is. Well, I don't know where the box is. They just always tell me, well, we have a box, Nicole. You know, everything's in the box. Are you
but
trying to kill us?
Where is the box?
No, let's not talk about this now. And you know, and I know it's a hard thing for anybody to talk about because they know if I need to get into the box, that means there's something that's major gone on that they can't handle themselves. But let's talk about that box.
Let's talk about the box.
Yes.
And it really is true that that is one of the things I advise people is that you do need to know where the box is. So where are the records, the insurance policies, the insurance cards, the checking account, the key for the safe deposit box, all of those things. And I know that my in-laws were great about it. They took us on a tour around the house to show us where that is. So that is one of the things you need to find out. Where are the records? But the when you're getting ready to prepare and you're getting ready for this caregiving journey, I call what you need to do the five golden rings.
Okay.
And there are five things you should be working on. First is to get the legal documents in order. And these are the documents that your elders or your parents need to be able to give you the authority to care when needed. The second thing you need to do is to take a reality check. How are your parents really doing? Don't presume that they're doing well or not. You may call your parent and say, how are you doing? And they say, oh, I'm doing fine. And you know that's not quite right because you saw some of that clutter in the house or a confused kitchen.
Denial is wonderful.
Denial is wonderful.
It's a river in Egypt, right?
That is.
It's often the joke.
Often the joke. And you need to get past that denial and say, well, I need to do a reality check. And there are several good reality check tools on the web that you can use to be able to do this. The third thing you want to think about then is once you've got this reality check, then you want to start thinking about housing. Is your elder going to be able to live independently? Are they going to need some assistance in their home or perhaps move to a residence? And the last option is to move in with you. So you have some options and you need to be looking at that. The fourth thing you need to do is gather information. We've just talked about find the box.
Mm-hmm.
The other things you need to do are to perhaps gather some good websites, pick up some books, start reading articles, join AARP. There are lots of things that you can do to gather that information about how to care for your parent and their medical condition or health condition, but also to care for yourself and what you're going to need to be able to care. And then finally, you want to plan for the finances for this caregiving journey. It's well known that this is not an inexpensive kind of journey that we're going to be starting on. So you want to talk about and think about the finances for your parent as well as the finances for yourself. You are going to be putting some of your own money into this endeavor, and so you want to be able to plan for that eventuality.
Great. Well, that sounds like some wonderful advice there. How about if I really wanted to be proactive, and I know this may be the exception rather than the rule, but are there any formal training programs available to help a person prepare to care?
There actually are, and we are extremely fortunate here in the Triangle because we do have some organizations who are putting together some great programs. The first one I always advise is the AARP program called Prepare to Care.
How ironic.
How ironic. And they also have another great program called Power Tools for Caregivers. Now, the Prepare to Care class was actually tested in North Carolina, and we were the test spot. It's been around for a couple of years now. And also, the Power Tools is a newer thing that they've brought out lately, and I just love both of those programs. So I tell people to check those out.
How would I find those?
Those are going to be on the AARP website, and we are going to have that on the chapelboro.com, so you can get to the link for AARP and then see where they're having. They actually have a North Carolina chapter, and that is where you'll find the dates.
Okay, great.
That will also show you where there are safe driving classes, too. Okay. That's a big issue about when do I – how's my parent doing with the car? Now, the other place that I like to advise people is the Alzheimer's Association has the Caregivers Education Conferences.
Okay.
And the North Carolina Association has – dates for, there's a local conference every year that happens in the Triangle somewhere, and then there are conferences all over the state. And those are very good for people who are working with an elder who has dementia. And that's a very good place to start.
And we're actually blessed with two wonderful resources in this Triangle. We have the Alzheimer's Association, and then we also have Alzheimer's North Carolina.
Correct.
Which is great. And the Triangle, I think the conference you're talking about is the Triangle Caregivers Conference.
Well, that's actually another conference.
Okay.
Outside of the Alzheimer's Association, but that is my third big source, and that is the Triangle Caregivers Conference. This year, we're really blessed to have two dates, one in Durham and one in Raleigh. One's on June the 19th, and one's on June the 26th. And the Caregivers Conference has their own website with the dates and how you can register for that. But it has about 60 or 70 vendors and service organizations put up booths so you can talk with service people. And there's a full day of presentations, a keynote speaker, and a great luncheon. So I just think it's fabulous. And it's practically free to attendees. I think there's a nominal $5 or $10 fee for it. For an entire day of information, you cannot beat that. So I urge everyone in the Triangle to go to that.
Great. Okay. So many professionals describe caregiving as taking on an additional job. What makes caregiving different than a 9-to-5 job?
Well, first of all, you're usually not paid. So that is, and there's no automatic pay increase.
Sure.
So increasing from zero is nothing. But what happens is that when you're in a 9-to-5 job, a lot of times you can leave it at work. Mm-hmm. You have an office, it goes away. But in this job, it's like raising children and having children, you never stop worrying about it. It's always at the back of my mind, you know, of your mind as a caregiver. Well, what is that next phone call going to be?
Right.
Did mom fall or did she burn something on the stove? Is dad okay in the car?
Right.
And you have that. And then there's that role reversal where the parent cared for you. Now you're caring for the parent. So those are some of the pitfalls. But the other thing I think is that there are some really good benefits from caregiving. It gives you a lot of time with your loved one. And if you have a good relationship with them, this is just more time to spend. And then second, you can resolve some of those deep-seated issues. So mm-hmm. if you did have problems in the past, this is a good time to start resolving those issues. And finally, you're able to repay in love and care what they gave to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that a lot of people really do this from love.
Yep.
Even though for some of us, there may be emotional distances, as you mentioned at the very beginning with my mom. But for many people, this is something they do from love. And it's wonderful to see that happen and to see that relationship grow and change and just be a beautiful thing while taking care of a parent.
With my personal experience with my grandfather, you know, people often say to me, what were you crazy? How did you do that? You had a 2-year-old, a 2-week-old, a puppy, a husband, you know? And so it's like my mantra. And I, you know, reality is I don't remember a lot of that time. It went by very fast because I was so busy. But I do remember the love. I'm just so proud that I was able to care for him and, you know, just the small things, make him a home cooked meal every single day. And, you know, he gained 20 pounds and he got to hold babies and play with 2-year-olds. And I really feel like during that time, he just had a wonderful time.
And
he was happy, and I, you know, though I don't remember lots of pieces of it, you know, I do remember some of the hard parts of it as well. But you know, I'm just very proud that I was able to do that for him in that point in my life. So,
and I think that's kind of the easy way to care is when there's love and affection mm-hmm. that you can really do that. And I like to also remind our listeners today that if you are in a very difficult relationship with your parent, that there's also the option to care there, but you may be doing it with a different emotional pattern and a different emotional state, and that's perfectly fine. And so there are differences in how you're going to care when you have that difficult relationship, but overall, we all can have that opportunity to care, so I think that's great.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. I'm here today with Laverne Cohen, author and family caregiver, talking about How to Prepare to Care to be a Caregiver on 1360 WCHL. We'll be right back.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on News Talk 1360 WCHL is supported by Homewatch Caregivers. And now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. I'm here today with Laverne Cohen, author and family caregiver, talking about how to prepare to care to be a caregiver on 1360 WCHL. And I'm your host, Nicole Bruno. Just before we left, Laverne and I were talking about the beautiful pieces of caregiving. But I do also remember just being so overwhelmed and so tired. And, you know, I remember one point when my grandfather had terrible circulation in his feet, and I would have to give him a foot bath every day, and I'd have to massage his feet. And it was like 12 o'clock at night, and I probably had to get up to nurse the baby in an hour. And I just remember one day he looked down at me, and he said to me, "You know, I think this is too much for you." And I still have guilt feelings to this day, but I looked up at him and I said, "You know it is." And so those are some of the darker times that, you know, just pure exhaustion, and it just was all falling onto me. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, being overwhelmed is one of the things that caregivers feel. Probably 100%. Every caregiver is going to feel overwhelmed at some point. So there are a couple of things that we can talk about in terms of how can you manage that, not the feeling, but how can you stay from being overwhelmed? And one of the things I like is that there is a set of things called the Big Six. And these are activities or areas that are not that are things that you're going to be worried about, but aren't all falling apart at once. And those six things are health care and medication, having a safe, clean place for your elder to live, having proper clothing, transportation, a social network, and nutritious meals that have enough food. Those six things are not going to be falling off the scale at once.
Sure.
There's going to be one, maybe two at most, that are of immediate priority. And that's what you need to do, is take those top six, look at them and say, well, what needs immediate action, that there's safety involved or health involved? Do that first. Okay. Concentrate on that first. For the other things, you might want to find help. And that is where the support system comes in. And this is all part of preparing to care. Before you get to that crisis situation, you want to start thinking about all the people around you that can help. So there are going to be people like the people that know your parents. They're professional people. They're a lawyer. They're doctor. They're nurses. They have people that surround them, neighbors, perhaps a landlord, a financial planner, the minister at their church, friends. You can ask them for favors, for help for your elder. And a lot of times people are just so happy to be able to help if you just ask.
You know, there's a great local nonprofit in the area called Project Compassion, and they put arms around. They use your natural support network and help organize what you have around you so that you're not so overwhelmed. And I think they're a great resource.
And that is exactly the type of thing that you need to look for, because you may be coordinating all of this, but you can also get someone like Project Compassion or perhaps a geriatric care manager who would also be able to manage the care for you and coordinate it. You also want to think about putting people around you and make sure that family and friends, your employer, that people know, that your church knows, and gather people around you. So that's a good thing.
And I think one of the great things, and as we close here today, in caregiving, your first priority is you. And I lost myself during the caregiving journey. I remember after my grandfather died, we moved. Everything was a sort of a whirlwind in our lives at that point. And one day I stood there and looked in the mirror, and I almost didn't recognize myself. Yeah. I had changed. Now, granted, I just had a baby and morphed back to a person without a big tummy anymore, but it's just, I did lose myself during that time. Talk for a few seconds about that.
You do have to remember that It's like being in an airplane. They say put your oxygen on first and help someone else. Mm-hmm. This is exactly the same thing. Recognize that your needs are as important as the needs of your elder. And give yourself the same proportion of time to care for yourself as you do for others. If you've given a couple of hours to your parents and you've helped the kids with their homework, you need to take an hour or two also for you. So your first priority is you, then care for others.
Well, it's been such a pleasure to have you here today, Laverne.
Thank you. You've been
a wonderful guest. I'm sure you've helped so many people here today.
I'm so glad to be here, Nicole. Thanks.
Thank you for joining Laverne Cohen, author and family caregiver, today as we discussed how to prepare to care to be a caregiver on 1360 WCHL. And as always, you may email your caregiving issues to caring@1360wchl.com. Have a wonderful day.
The purpose of Caring Connections is to educate listeners to help improve the quality of life for families, for professional caregivers, as well as for those people afflicted with Alzheimer's disease.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno is supported by HomeWatch Caregivers and can be heard Saturdays at 10 a.m. Email questions to caring@1360wchl.com. Caring Connections is a presentation of News Talk 1360 WCHL.